Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
The Passover plays a complicated role in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It is, first and foremost, the capstone of God's judgments and wrath against Egypt for refusing to allow his people to leave and worship him. It is also a sacrificial meal. It is also, as it's called, an eternal ordinance. In the New Testament, Jesus takes this meal that he first commanded the Israelites to enact, and he takes it and fulfills it. First with his own death and resurrection as a sacrificial lamb, and also in the Lord's Supper. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome.
Thank you.
What had God done in Egypt up to this point in the book of Exodus?
What God had done is had brought the people of Israel over to Egypt because of a great famine that had occurred. He had Joseph in Egypt able to tell the dreams of Pharaoh that for 7 years there would be a famine, but there would be much food for the first 7 years. So he was put in charge of gathering the food. And of course, the famine extended into Canaan, and Jacob sent his sons, and they ended up discovering that Joseph was still alive. The whole family came over, and they were given an area of Egypt called Goshen, which was very good for agriculture. And there they began to multiply their numbers until many years later, the pharaohs had kind of forgotten about Joseph, and there were 2 million Israelites. And they were put under slavery because the Egyptians were afraid that if they had been attacked by someone, the Israelites would join with the attackers against the Egyptians. And so, to a great degree, they were under slavery. But this is when Moses was born and finally became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, grew up in Pharaoh's residence, and one time had to leave there because he had done battle with Egyptians in protecting Israelites. And he had now gone to another area where Mount Sinai was. And he had this wonderful, wonderful vision of God also in a burning bush. And he was told to go and bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. So that's what Moses did with his brother Aaron. And we're at the point now where God had to deliver 9 kinds of terrible things to the Egyptians to try and get them to release the Israelites. But Pharaoh became too much involved in what he wanted rather than what God wanted. So we're at the point now where plague number 10 is about to occur in the land of Egypt.
What instructions did God give to Moses regarding the Passover?
The Passover, and that's a very good word used for this meal, was that Israel were to prepare to flee from Egypt. And they had to put together a number of things. The most important one was they had to have a male lamb or goat without blemish on it. And they were to keep it to the 14th day of this month, and then at twilight, kill the lambs for all the families, and take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses. That's the top of the doorposts, in which they ate. They shall then eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And they were not to take leavened bread, because that would take too long for the bread to rise and become fluffy. And those were the two main commandments: unleavened bread and the killing of a lamb.
What did each part of the Passover mean?
Each part of the Passover, God used to point forward to another lamb, the Lamb of God, whose blood would also be put on wood, on a cross, and the angel of death would then pass over all those who believed in Jesus for their salvation. And that was a promise found in the Old Testament. So many people, like Abraham, Adam and Eve, Jeremiah, etc., believed that promise, and they would be saved. And what I find interesting is in verse 12 of chapter 12, God is speaking. He says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." And the blood shall be a sign for the angel of death, who we presume to be Jesus Christ, on the houses where you are. And when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. And that's where we get the idea of the Passover, the meal that reminds us of the angel, namely Jesus, passing over the believers who had put blood over the doorway.
Describe the Feast of Unleavened Bread you mentioned before and its meaning.
Yes, it was a feast in which they would prepare a lamb or a goat, a male, and this would be one without a blemish, which means it points again to Jesus. He had no blemish of sin upon him, yet he suffered for our sin. And they put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses, and then they had a meal with unleavened bread, and they ate the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. They were not permitted to eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted. And then none of it would be left over. But if there was any left over in the morning, it would be burned. And from this manner you shall eat, God says, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, because God knew that Pharaoh, when his own son would die, would tell the Egyptians, we need to let the Israelites go. But he would change his mind. And so that's what happened. When they left Egypt, got to the Red Sea, with the Egyptians coming behind them, because Pharaoh once more had changed his mind.
Describe the final plague that God sent on Egypt and why he sent it.
The oldest male, not only in the family, but even those who were in prison, their oldest males also would die. And that was something that God was doing for one purpose, and that was to get the Israelites released from prison, their prison of slavery. This often happens, the Sunday school children should learn, in their own lives, that God permits things to happen to help keep them from danger or keep them away from offenses by other people. And so for 7 days, no leaven was to be found in their houses. In fact, if anyone ate what was leavened, that was yeast, to enlarge the bread, make it fluffy, God says a person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, verse 20 says. In all your dwelling places, you shall eat unleavened bread. And so, when the Passover lamb was put to death, they took a bunch of hyssop, that's a plant, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the doorpost and the lintel with the blood, and none of you shall go out of the door of the house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doors, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses or strike you. That's what the Passover was all about.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Passover. How does the Passover meal foreshadow Christ? We'll get the answer to that question next. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Bethel Lutheran Church in Howard City, Michigan preaches Christ and Him crucified.
At Bethel, God's word of salvation is boldly proclaimed in all its truth, and the sacraments are rightly administered.
These means of grace help us peacefully navigate the craziness of this world. Bethel is centrally located between Grand Rapids and Big Rapids, just 2 miles east of US 131.
Our divine services are at 9:30 a.m. Join us this Sunday to receive God's marvelous gifts of grace.
You wish your classical school could do more for struggling learners, uncertain where to begin? The Memoria Press Schools Division includes Cheryl Swope, author of Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child. The Schools Division will happily assist your school. Memoria Press offers an entire line of special needs resources for teaching math, reading, spelling, and more. Contact schools at memoriapress.com or order directly from simplyclassical.com with coupon code LPR23.
The question I had to grapple with, the question everyone has to deal with, is what do you make of Jesus? Most people respond with morality. Jesus was a great man who left the world great ethics like love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus' ethics can be found in other religions. What makes Jesus unique is his claim to be the divine Son of God who came to give his life as a ransom. That's from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Take courage. Encouraging words for discouraging times. Its author, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Call Concordia Publishing House and order Take Courage, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest for teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Passover. So, Tom, how does the Passover meal foreshadow Christ?
It foreshadows Christ because Jesus himself, according to John the Baptizer, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sins of the world." That's what John said about Jesus, that he was going to take away the sins of the world. Where did he take them? Well, he was regarded as a sinner by God the Father after the baptism by John the Baptizer, a baptism of repentance. And he therefore stood for all of Israel, both Jew and Gentiles, namely Israel, believers in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so by his death on the cross, all Israel, Jew and Gentile, are saved from the angel of death on that day of judgment. That's why they often celebrated the Passover.
What did Jesus do at his final Passover meal with his disciples?
Yes, it's very interesting that at that Passover meal, there's no mention of a lamb that was slain, because Jesus was the lamb, and he gave his own body and his own blood to the disciples. "Take, eat, this is my body," he says, in distributing the bread of life. "Take, drink, this is my blood," as he passed around his cup for them to drink. So they received his body and blood at his Passover, prior to their time of going to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was arrested and taken to be crucified.
How is the Lord's Supper a fulfillment of the Passover?
It's important to read the Old Testament that looks toward the New Testament in helping us to understand. Jesus did that on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. Two disciples could not understand why he was crucified, and now they heard rumors that he had risen from the dead. So he began in Genesis through the Old Testament, talking about the many prophecies of his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, and yes, even his ascension back into heaven to be at the right hand of God. And their hearts burned within them as they heard that good news, something that every pastor should be doing on a Sunday morning in pointing to the Old Testament and how those promises were fulfilled in the New Testament.
What then should the Sunday school children know about how the blood of Jesus delivers them from God's wrath?
It's very important to remember that the first time that blood was shed on earth was after the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They realized they were naked. They tried to dress themselves in branches, which didn't last long. So God killed an animal and dressed them in the coat of the animal. That was the first time that blood was shed, and was looking forward to the many times that blood would be shed, referring to Jesus Christ as the Savior who would come to take away the sins of the world. As Isaiah says, the Lord laid on Jesus our iniquity. It means he's the one that paid for our sin. And that's the good news of this Sunday school lesson.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law of this lesson is we all fear death because we can't control it. And so for a lot of people, they look to secular gifts and secular prizes to be happy, when instead the gospel says, because of what Jesus, the Lamb of God, did, we can now look forward to eternal life, and we no longer have to fear death, because at the very moment of our death, our spirit is taken to be with Jesus, awaiting that day when our bodies will be restored to our spirit, and we will be like Jesus in heaven forever.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. You can find out more about Law and Gospel on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., Pastor Sean Denzer joins us. He's Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, talking about how God's Word and God's Christ are opposed.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.